to about 82. Some widely scattered showers possible by afternoon. Then showers and thunderstorms becoming likely Thursday night into Friday. Nice weather returning over the upcoming weekend. The pollen count still in the medium to high range today through Thursday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Smart Skin Spa and Salon is the River Region's full-service med spa, day spa, and salon. Located in historic downtown Prattville, with over 500 square feet, Smart Skin offers over 100 services of all things beauty and relaxation. Find them online or on Facebook now.
Alabama News Network. I'm Andrew James. Here's a look at today's headlines. A 19-year-old has been arrested in connection to a shooting near a Montgomery Walmart. The shooting happened in the 6400 block of Atlanta Highway on Friday. The victim was taken to the hospital and is expected to be okay. Prattville police are looking for a missing senior. 81-year-old Robert Robinson was last seen leaving his home around 6 o'clock Monday night. Authorities say Robinson has severe dementia and diabetes. If you have any information, call Prattville Police. And the National Weather Service confirms 53 tornadoes so far this year in Alabama. That compares to the yearly average of 47 tornadoes. The state recorded 28 tornadoes in March, which was the highest total for that month since 1950. And that's a look at today's headlines. For more on these stories and others, watch Alabama News Network on CBS 8 and ABC 32. I'm Andrew James.
The following is a paid program. All content is provided by Dan Morris Productions and does not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of WACB Radio, Blue Water Broadcasting, or Liberty Acquisitions 825.
Family is big around here. We're family-owned, family-operated, family-managed. And that means legacy. That means dependability. That means using Grainger. With over 1.5 million products and knowledgeable product experts, Grainger has whatever we need. And with same-day pickup and next-day delivery options, they have it whenever we need it. For over 90 years, businesses like ours have trusted Grainger. Because, like family, Grainger's got our back. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Groceries loaded for free in my car's trunk with Walmart's grocery pickup.
Try Walmart's free grocery pickup. Order online and we'll bring them out to your Batmobile. Download our grocery app today.
Just order online and pick up curbside. Walmart!
$30 minimum. Restrictions apply.
Hey, this is Randy and Tammy Burkhalter at Prattville Farm Center.
Hey, Randy, tell me about those hot chicks I've been hearing about.
Now, Tammy, I don't know any since we got married.
No, Randy, the baby chicks.
Oh, yeah, we're getting Rhode Island Reds, Americanas, Buff Orpingtons, and about six other different varieties.
Plus ducks, turkeys, geese, and guineas.
Hey, and raising chickens is a great family project.
And you get to look forward to fresh eggs.
Visit Prattville Farm Center at 1154 South Memorial Drive and pick up your hot chicks today.
Your News Talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show, noon till 3. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
More explosions rock Sri Lanka's capital. Deadly leftover devices from Easter terror attacks on churches and hotels. The death toll now stands at least 290. Over 500 were hurt.
House Judiciary Committee has subpoenaed President Trump's former White House counsel, Don McGahn.
Are you worried about impeachment?
Not even a little bit.
A whistleblower shares his concerns about Boeing's Dreamliner.
Would you fly in a 787?
Probably not.
President Trump is fighting back on another matter, suing to block a congressional subpoena to produce his business records.
Party President Trump said he's not going to nominate Herman Cain for the Federal Reserve Board.
The mayor of Yuma, Arizona, has declared a state of emergency as the city on the border struggles to handle a flood of migrants.
James Holzhauer has done it again.
90,812 and now a new 13-day total of 942,738.
Four times in my life, America's been at war. That's a tragic waste of lives. And it makes you realize how desperately the world needs a lasting peace. Just across the hall here in the White House is the Roosevelt Room, named after the two Roosevelts who served here, one a Republican, one a Democrat. Many decisions are made in that room. And often as I meet with my staff, I gaze up at the five service flags, each representing one of the five members. military services, and draped from each flag are battle streamers, signifying every battle campaign fought since the Revolutionary War. Each ribbon a remembrance of a time when American men and women spilled their blood into the soil of distant lands. My fondest hope for this presidency is that the people of America give us the continued opportunity to pursue a peace so strong and so lasting that we'd never again have to add another streamer to those flags.
It's the Dan Morris Show. Join the conversation by calling 272-9228. And now, here's Dan Morris.
Stock market is up 160 points, and the temperature outside is 80 degrees. We're getting into that warm weather here. Let me bring in the Mr. Producer himself, the one and only Joey Clark.
Ooh, hello.
How are we doing today, big guy?
I'm feeling good.
Like you knew you should.
Oh, yeah. I got a big
sugar
pump
and spice and everything nice.
Oh, absolutely.
I love it. Let me get some housekeeping issues taken care of. Number one is first-time caller needs to let Joey, the producer, know. We'll get your name in for the Fresh Market $50 gift card. $50 gift card from Fresh Market. Then any caller can get in on the Sweet Creek Farm Market gift basket. What's in that gift basket? $60 worth of goodies you put in there. And, man, that's a lot of goodness there from Sweet Creek Farm Market. I'm going to be there on Saturday. We're doing a barbecue cook-off. I just found out from my good friend Kevin Murphy that he's going to drop in also. And it's going to be a fun day on Saturday. So I hope I'll see you down there. I will find out from Ree what time the festivities start. I think I'm supposed to be there at 10:30. So I'm going to go work out early and head down there with some friends. Let me bring in the Chief Deputy of Montgomery County Sheriff's Department, my good friend, our good friend, Kevin Murphy. Chief, how are you?
I'm doing great, Dan. Thank you.
Now, so how were those strawberries from Sweet Creek Farm Market?
Oh, they're outstanding. My wife made strawberry shortcake that night. Ooh, like I need it.
I tell you, what I like to do is take them and then sprinkle a little sugar on them, mm-hmm. and then I get a little balsamic vinegar, usually blueberry or something, and pour over it, and I let it just sit there for a while. And then take those bad boys out and put it on ice cream with a little bit of sponge cake. Hey, good show. Let's go eat this ice cream.
Hey, when you guys start talking about food and I start complaining, and my wife will say, "You just ate."
Yeah.
I did, didn't I?
Darn it. We had there was a story that I sent you that happened in Phoenix. They've had a real upswing in police officer shootings. Let's listen to the first part of the story.
A new report recommends changes to police training in Phoenix, Arizona, after the city had the most officer-involved shootings in the country. 2018 was the most violent year on record for Phoenix police, with 44 police shootings. That's more than double the number in 2017. By comparison, the New York City Police Department, the largest in the nation, had just 17 officer-involved shootings last year. Jeff Pagaze spoke with the Phoenix police chief, who commissioned the study of her own department after she saw a troubling increase in the use of deadly force.
Has any other city experienced
44?
No.
Yeah. Trust me, no.
Phoenix Police Chief Jerry Williams is battling the perception that her officers are too eager to use force after her department had the most officer-involved shootings in the country.
There are some people who think, well, are Phoenix police trigger-happy?
There are some people who think a lot of things. My agency is unafraid of the truth. If there's something we can learn it, let's fix it.
A new National Police Foundation report says there is no one issue that caused the spike in officer-involved shootings in Phoenix, but notes assaults on officers were higher than past years, and more of the subjects involved were armed.
Let's go to that last fact. The assault on officers were higher, and then those that are doing the assault that had a weapon had increased. Are you seeing an upswing in assaults on officers?
No, not here. Maybe in some parts of the country. And as I talked about earlier with you, Dan, this may appear to be just an outlier in Phoenix. You know, a spike, but not the norm. You know, these things happen from time to time, but in every use of force, whether it's a taser, mace, certainly deadly force, an agency, if they're doing it properly, and we do it at the sheriff's office, you review every single use of force and ensure that policy was followed, procedure was followed, and if it's not, then obviously you take corrective action. But you know, I'm sure that Phoenix was looking at every one of these cases on a case-by-case basis before it ever got to the number 44.
When you're looking at it on a case-by-case basis, is the fact that the officer is in fear of his life, is that one of the prevailing reasons that somebody was used deadly force?
Yes. Graham versus Connor is the standard, the national standard for that. It's a U.S. Supreme Court decision. That's what's adhered to. There is some movement across, in California, you know, the Supreme Court has ruled that it has to be reasonableness.
Mm-hmm.
But California is looking at passing a law, then the operant word instead of reasonableness is necessary.
Right.
And I don't agree with that.
Because how do you determine in a split second the necessity of it?
I think that it opens up a Pandora's box.
Let's listen to the second part of the story.
Phoenix-based activist group Poter in Action says the Phoenix Police Department has a history of aggression and issued a travel advisory for minorities last year in response to police violence in the city.
We had a vigil here right after it happened.
Paris Wallace works with Poter in Action.
Yeah.
She told us about one shooting last year involving 34-year-old Robbie Brown, who was shot and killed by police responding to a call at a bus terminal.
He was sitting at one of the benches, and somebody said that they saw him playing with a gun.
Arizona is an open carry state, which means it's legal to carry a gun in plain sight. But at least one witness said she did not see Brown with a gun at the station and that he appeared to be listening to music.
They ended up boarding the bus and shooting him in front of over 30 people.
Police say Brown ignored commands to drop his weapon and produced a handgun from his pocket when they confronted him.
Keep it downrange.
The National Report also points to an increase in use of force incidents with no guns involved.
What the hell?
You guys good?
Body cam footage shows the immediate aftermath of a Phoenix police officer's scuffle with a blind man named Marco Zepeda in a gas station bathroom last June.
You were approaching the urinal?
Yeah, but I didn't hear anybody. So he comes and turns around and he say, I think, get off of me and push me really hard. And that's when I started defending myself.
Did you just turn around and start pushing me like crazy?
I told you I was a cop and you just started freaking turning at me.
I didn't know you were a cop.
I told you.
Let's go. Let's get out of here.
And I was playing to him. Look at my eyes. I'm blind.
What did he say?
He didn't care.
Zepeda was charged with aggravated assault. He spent 24 hours in jail, but the charges were ultimately dismissed.
You know, something you have taught me, Kevin, is that there's a real seasoning issue with police departments. You have lieutenants and captains that are leaving the force that have actually had some great time and know an awful lot. And then you have these younger officers coming up. We're going through officers so fast in city of Montgomery. I mean, we're down in the 470s now. And it was 510 when you were there?
545.
Wow.
It was at the peak when I was there.
Is it, is the recruiting issue for particularly city PDs, is that a big issue? And trying to find people and you're losing folks?
It is. It's nationwide. It's every agency. I talked to some of my colleagues that I went to the National Academy with. Everybody is suffering from this phenomenon right now. The economy's doing great, and there are so many opportunities out there for people other than law enforcement that a lot of people are not exploring law enforcement as a profession right now. We're getting some success, but not as great as we were, you know, several years ago.
So How big is the fact that a police officer could possibly be shot because he is a police officer? Is that playing into the factor?
I don't think that's the
problem.
You
don't think that's the thing?
I don't. I the danger's always been there.
But as a layman, it seems to be higher.
Statistically, right now, the Officer Down website is showing that gun deaths are down. Vehicular deaths are up right now with law enforcement officers. You know, it might be something that maybe is, you know, in the society, it might have some attention. But the fact is that gun-related deaths in law enforcement are down in 2019. You know, I want to touch on something. They said the officers got on this bus where there were 30 people in open fire. You know, and the Sheriff Cunningham and I had this conversation this morning. We have it frequently about slow your roll, assess, evaluate. That was a poor tactical decision.
You know, a lot of people could have gotten hurt
yes,
with that one.
You know, you get on the bus, you tell the driver, well, from the door, you tell the driver, evacuate the bus. You know, I just, again, you assess, evaluate, don't rush in. You know, the guy hasn't threatened anybody. The last person said that they thought he was playing with the gun. And it's like the incident that occurred a few years ago where this kid was in a park.
Right.
And why do these officers rush in? The kid's sitting on a table. It's a toy gun. It ended up being a toy gun. But they rush in, they jump out of the car, and they open fire. Again, there's no proximity to danger. So, you know, again, the sheriff and I commend him, assess and evaluate. Don't rush. Slow your roll.
Let's listen to this last segment here.
You've seen that tape.
I've not seen the tape. I haven't seen the tape. I may or may not have seen the tape.
Well, we can.
I don't need to see the tape. I am not going to discuss it as a PETA case. One, it's still an active and open investigation. And two, I believe we are in litigation with it.
Do you get annoyed by those types of questions when those incidents happen?
Oh, I'm not going to say annoyed. Anytime something like that happens, it's troubling. You have to think about policy, procedures, practices.
How are you?
Helping oversee that effort is Commander Jennifer LaRoque. She runs a new training program at the Phoenix Police Academy.
What is implicit bias?
Which includes implicit bias courses and de-escalation training scenarios like these.
The old military style where we come in and we start screaming at people.
Sir, yes, sir.
That's not happening here anymore. We've changed that up. We need to get back to the basics. Skills of how to take someone into custody without considering using the tool belt as a first resort. Or if one of those fails, do we necessarily have to pull out our gun and use deadly force?
What do you think is the most important thing in bridging the gap between community and police?
It's about trust. Can we always work on trust? Absolutely. Can we always work on communication? Absolutely. And my agency is doing that.
For CBS This Morning, Jeff Begays.
News 93.1 FM, Dan Moore Show. We'll be back with Kevin Murphy. We're going to ask him how much training has changed just in the last 10 to 15 years. And be back right after this.
What do you get with Greg, Rich, Jay, and Emily Hayes? Three men and a lady. Mornings 6 to 9 on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
If you have a pool, you know about needing help with it from time to time. I have found that company for you, Fagan Pool Service. They're a Regal Chemical dealer. They've been in business over 40 years. Regal Chemicals are the very top of the line. This is family-owned, father-son duo. They handle all repairs such as pool liners, pumps, motors, filters, salt generators, leak detection, you name it. American run by two veterans, so you can trust they know the importance of hard work, dedication, and integrity.
Has your pool lost its fun? We keep you in the swim of things. Call 201-1819, 201-1819, Fagan Pool Service.
From luxury truck to work truck, Ram Trucks deliver a smooth ride without sacrificing towing or hauling capability. And right now, during our 2019 spring sales event, you can save up to $14,300 on all new 2019 Ram 1500 Big Horn Crew Cabs in stock at Brubaker, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. They are designed to last and they are priced to move. If you're looking for premium comfort in the new benchmark for SUVs, look no further than the 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee. The new Jeep Grand Cherokee is raising the bar in luxury and performance. You can find your freedom and save big during Jeep Freedom Days at Brubaker. For a limited time, lease a new 2019 Jeep Grand Cherokee for only $327 a month. Come test drive a Ram Truck 1500 Bighorn or Jeep Grand Cherokee at Brubaker Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Better vehicles, better service, better pricing. It's a better buy at Brubaker.
Plus tax, ag, title, and fees. Must finance through Chrysler Capital with approved credit. Ram Truck stock number R9093. Grand Cherokee 36-month lease requires first payment, tax, ag, title, and fees at signing. $12,000 per year mileage limit. All offers expire April 30th.
Dog is man's best friend. And while you may be making sure your pet has everything they need, the River Region Humane Societies need your help too. Blue Water Broadcasting and Acceptance Insurance are doing something about it. Help stuff our Sprinter van full of badly needed shelter supplies. Acceptance Insurance. Protection. Options. Peace of mind. It's our annual Paw It Forward Pet Drive. Donate what you can. From Blue Water Broadcasting and Acceptance Insurance.
For more information on the Paw It Forward Pet Drive, go to newstalk931.com.
We get Montgomery talking 24 hours a day. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
I really love you, baby. 272-9228. I was kind of worried that we had a shooting near Carver, and Carver High School is in lockdown. See if you see that story up on WSFI. I might. Marie, send it to me. Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy in the house. Let's talk about how much training has changed over the course of 10, 15 years.
Chief Brown, when the shootings occurred in Dallas, where the officers, multiple officers were killed, and Chief Brown is now retired, but he spoke to the national media, and, you know, training is reflecting the chief's comments about, you know, the public is asking us to do more and more. And now, you know, there's a lot more mental health training. There's, giving an example, we carry Narcan now in the deputies' vehicles in the chance that we come across somebody having an opioid. Yes. So, you know, again, there's just so many facets now to the training and to what is demanded or expected of us as law enforcement officers, which is okay. We're up for the challenge. But, you know, the academies have gotten longer, and they've gotten a lot more specific in, you know, dealing with situations.
Did they teach de-escalation 10, 12 years ago? And has that changed a lot?
It has. They taught it. It wasn't as emphasized as it is today. Dan, like I've told you many times, so many things that were taught are being taught today. We're being taught 35 years ago when I started, but those things were taught in the car after the academy. And you mentioned, you know, a lot of lieutenants and captains leaving law enforcement have a lot of years experience. When I started, and my good friend Steve Searcy, who started in the 70s, there were guys with 25 years experience who were patrolmen, and they were the beat cop, and they taught things to us, the nuances of the profession, the subtleties, something you can't learn in a book,
right, or
in a classroom. And, you know, Joey and I were having this conversation before the show. a lot of great attorneys, when they graduate from law school, they latch on to a guy that's been in the profession a long time, or a lady. You know, somebody who leaves trade school and you go to work in a shop, a machine shop, and you're apprenticing under somebody who's been around a lathe and knows a lot about, you know, hey, this doesn't work quite the way you think it does. Same thing with law enforcement.
Mm-hmm.
And so some of the things that we're being taught in the car, on the beat, we've lost some of that maturity and longevity. And so law enforcement is being tasked with trying to teach these things in a classroom. And I'm not sure the effectiveness in the classroom is as great as it is in that patrol car with my training officer, Carl Edmondson. He's 50, 55 years old. He was the age I am today. And he was very paternal. You know, son, you need to slow down. And, you know, he was just older, more mature, more experienced, and he settled me down.
And that was really your classroom, was the car then?
Big time. Yes, sir. Without a doubt. Probably one of the most valuable experiences that any officer is going to have.
So, I mean, I've never seen a patrol officer that's that age.
Not anymore. I don't. But back when I started in 84, I mean, I can think of Pat Catrus. You know, silver-haired, been around a long time. Again, just so many people come to mind. Carl Emerson, Al Milosowski. I could just keep throwing out names of people that, you know, some of these guys had been in law enforcement since the 60s, and they were starting to retire in the 80s, right, when I came on. And they had just such a wealth of knowledge. I told Dave Bryan, he was the assistant chief deputy at the sheriff's office. He retired year before last. He had 44 years with the sheriff's office.
Wow.
And I told Dave, you know how long it's going to take us to replace you? 44
years.
Yeah.
Because you need that seasoning.
Yeah, and he is wise. He had seen a lot, experienced a lot, level-headed guy. But again, you know, he left and went on to his retirement.
Let's go to the phones and go to Robert. Robert, you're on the Dan Moore Show with Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Hello, Robert. How are you?
All right. Hey, Mr. Murphy, I was listening to you earlier speak on that incident in Chicago with the little boy at the playground.
Yes, sir.
And I know that you observed real closely, and you saw some of the same things I said to myself. Why would you pull up that close to this kid that has a gun? Why would you rush the gun? There ain't nobody in the park but him. Only person he could harm him was himself if you stay a distance from him.
Sure.
But then I noticed that, and I said, now that's the common coolness you bring to the department. And I just want to commend you and Mr. Cunningham for continuing the tradition that D.T. Marshall left y'all with.
Well, thank you very much, Robert. You know, something that the sheriff stresses to me and to the members of his staff all the time, it's okay for us to have this conversation, but the most important time is for you to have it in roll call, one-on-one with these deputies, you know, to convey. And I love the term that he uses, slow your roll. The role that you play in an incident is so critical.
And the key word is be safe out there, gentlemen, when you leave. So be safe means look out for your life as well as the person you're going to serve.
Sure. I mean, we were in a situation not long ago where this guy was in this house, and I told the supervisor on the scene, hey, we're not going in there. We're gonna wait this guy out and sooner, and he did. He finally came outside. But again, we weren't going to rush into that situation.
All right. Thank you all for the tradition, though.
Thank you.
Thanks for the telephone call, Robert. I appreciate it. is the not having the seasoned officers, has something changed where a beat officer does not want to be a beat officer? They want to move into a shift leader and things like that. So therefore, if you don't elevate them, they move on?
No, I think there is in the sheriff's office, and I think there is at MPD too, and even nationwide, there still is a great sense of pride in being on the front lines, you know, being the beat officer, you know, responding to calls for service, interacting with citizens. You know, that's where the rubber meets the road, if you can forgive the cliche, that, you know, is vital. That is the most important, you know,
it's the highest contact that you have with the public.
And again, you know, we often say this, all the other divisions we could do without, but not patrol. Patrol is the backbone of the agency. You know, I think there's still a great desire for that position. And, you know, like when I was 21, it wasn't that I wasn't smart. I was just lacking in experience. And it showed.
Right.
And the way I handled calls. I remember as a young officer, 21, never been married, had no kids. And I get called to this domestic call. And I'm like, you know, heck, I didn't have the life experience to try to discern or evaluate this family dynamic that was exploding in front of me. So, you know, it just takes time, you know, to polish that diamond into the final product. And you can't rush it. You can't put an officer or deputy out on the streets and expect to have something polished and ready in a year. It takes time to get through those stages of...
Is there a pay issue with the police that if you were to raise the pay of your patrol officers that you would end up with more seasoning there?
That is a factor. Right now, I think that there's agencies in Alabama that are in a salary war. We're experiencing at the sheriff's office where we have lost some deputies recently to higher paying jobs. Sheriff Cunningham is doing his utmost best to try to improve that. I know he's been actively speaking to the county commissioners. So to answer your question, yes, it is a problem. There are agencies that are basically cannibalizing off of other agencies, and officers go where the money is.
Newstone 93.1, Kevin Murphy in the house. Dan Moore Show will be back right after this.
The Dan Morris Show.
To liberty in our time. The Joey Clark Radio Hour. Monday through Friday, 6 to 7 p.m. on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Hi there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage. Let's be honest, most of us have already given up on our New Year's resolutions, but it's not too late to get your finances in shape. Make the call that will change it all. 567-4223. You don't believe me? Listen up. A teacher in Millbrook was able to pay off $30,000 worth of credit card debt by refinancing with Alabama Home Mortgage. And get this, her monthly mortgage payment went down. With a little tutoring, now her mortgage ranks top of the class. You heard me right. That money you've been looking for may very well be right there in your home. Quit making those minimum monthly payments on credit cards. It's time to pay them off for good. Call my team today at 567-4223 or visit us online at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama Home Mortgage. NMLS 1586-368, Equal Housing Lender.
Hey everyone, Christy, Blue Water Broadcasting here. We are at Acceptance Insurance on South Memorial Drive in Prattville until 1 o'clock today for our 2019 Paw It Forward Pet Drive. You guys know the deal now. We've been at a different sponsor location every day for the past week. This is our second day this week. We have one more full week NetSuite to collect as many donations as we possibly can for the Montgomery, Prattville, Autauga, and Elmore County Humane Societies. And this is not a successful promotion unless you guys help us. It doesn't have to be a lot. You don't have to get a van full of things. If you're out at the pet store buying something for your own dog, get an extra bag of treats. Get an extra bag of food. That's all we're asking for. Donate what you can. We are here at Acceptance Insurance, South Memorial Drive in Prattville until 1. If you'd like to come drop off your donations to us, that would be awesome. We would love to take a picture with you and tell you thank you in person. And we have our Sprinter van on the road. You can't miss us. See you when you get here.
Fox News, I'm Lillian Wu. A census citizenship question, the focus of arguments before the Supreme Court this morning.
For the first time since 1950, the Trump administration wants to ask about citizenship status on the decennial census. The population count is critical to congressional representation and federal funding.
Fox's Jared Halpern. Immigrants' rights groups say the question could intimidate households and cause an undercount. The administration says it's important to enforce the Voting Rights Act. In the Jussie Smollett controversy, the two brothers who said they helped him fake a racist and homophobic attack against himself, filing suit against the actor's attorneys for defamation. Gloria Schmidt represents the brothers.
My city, my police department, and my clients all deserve to have their reputations restored.
The Empire actor maintains he's telling the truth. This is Fox News.
Rich Thomas Weather, brought to you by H&H Carpet. For all floor covering and granite products, see H&H Carpets for the guaranteed best price. H&H Carpets, across from Walmart on the Atlanta Highway.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Well, hi, everybody. Here comes another great day today. A good bit of sunshine, warmer, high temperature up to about 84. Tonight, increasing clouds, but milder. The overnight low temperature drops to about 58. Tomorrow, another warm day with a high in the mid-80s. Still dry, partly to mostly sunny. Then on Thursday, high temperature up to about 82. Some widely scattered showers possible by afternoon. Then showers and thunderstorms becoming likely Thursday night into Friday. Nice weather returning over the upcoming weekend. The pollen count still in the medium to high range today through Thursday. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Interested in making some spring renovations? Check out a home equity line of credit from ASE Credit Union. ASE Credit Union. Your life, your goals, your ASE. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Opportunity Lender. ASE Credit Union, 9 locations, or online at yourasecu.com.
If it concerns your community, you'll hear about it on News Talk 93.1. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
News Talk 93.1 FM, Dan Morris Show on a Tuesday. Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy in the house. If you have a question, comment, or viewpoint, we're talking about the situation over in Phoenix, Arizona, where they have had more police involved in shootings than they ever have had, 44, which is a pretty big number. I told you when I talked to you this morning, you know, I've been out to Phoenix a lot, and we had a place in Scottsboro, timeshare, and it's one of the places where when you go, particularly to North Phoenix, you go into a restaurant, and you'll sit there, and the guy next to you is sitting at the table will have a hog leg on him out there. I've seen maybe one carry person here in Alabama. That was actually up in Elmore County. Mm-hmm. I saw that. Do you see that very often?
I've seen it one time in the last 4 years. I was in a restaurant at lunch. It was at East Chase, and a young guy opened carry. And my wife said, "Are you going to say something to him?" I went, "No, he's not. He's
totally
within
legal.
The law." Yeah.
Just out of curiosity, what do you think about this no permit concealed carry that they're talking about in Alabama? I would think from your standpoint, that would not be good.
It isn't. You know, the sheriff and I have had this discussion. It's a tool for law enforcement. And I think someone mentioned the other day to me about, well, show me how that's ever prevented or stopped a crime. I said, oh, I'm glad you asked that question. When I was at the city, the roadrunner on Old Selma Road, patrolman came around the back of the building and there was a car parked there. It's dark, 1 o'clock in the morning, three guys in the car. Get them out of the car. They were all armed with pistols. None of them had a pistol permit. We arrested them for possession of a pistol without a permit, got them downtown, and ended up finding out.
How many priors?
You know, I don't remember, but they all confessed to getting ready to rob the store, and we charged them with conspiracy to commit robbery. You know, it is a tool that works, and, you know, we as a community have to decide, you know, look, laws are for law-abiding people. If you're going to carry a weapon and go get a permit, we're not worried about you, but do we really want just anybody at 18 years old strapping on a gun? And I think that we're going to open up a box that we don't want to open.
Yeah, if there's no penalty for carrying a concealed weapon without a permit, and there can be a lot of reasons you didn't give them a permit, priors would be one of them.
Well, the people that are going to go robbing a store like these three guys, they're not going to go down and get a permit and do it the lawful way. So, you know, again, we're not worried about lawful citizens, people that pay taxes and do the right thing. But it's those people that aren't going to, You know, that, and that's going to give them a loophole to get through in...
Just to carry.
Yeah, and it's going to impact public safety.
Let's go to the phone. Let's go to Doug. Doug, you're on board with Kevin Murphy.
Hey, Dan. How y'all doing?
We're great, Doug, and you?
Hey, Doug.
Yeah, we're talking about the compensation for our sheriff's department. Let me say first that we have the best sheriff's department in the state of Alabama.
Thank you.
You know, people say that, but we got the leaders like we have down there with Sheriff Cunningham and Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy there.
We appreciate your support.
And I can't speak for the entire county commission, but I know that we're in the process, and I think we have the votes. We're going to get y'all's compensation up where when other people try to come and recruit our officers, because we're coming after our people because we're good.
Thank you.
But we're going to get your pay up for those positions that we talked about. And I was with Sheriff Cunningham this morning, for example. Derek's out at the shooting range, and he's having administrative assistance day. And the Sheriff's Department here in Montgomery does more for their employees than anybody I know here in Montgomery. Now, there's some great private companies, Jimmy Louder, Mike Jenkins, a couple of guys come to mind that do a lot of stuff for their employees. But the Sheriff's Department does more than anybody I know. But cookouts and different things that the Sheriff's Department does for their employees don't always pay the bills sometimes at the end. It's a great thing to do, and we need to continue to do them. Well, we're going to get that pay up where we're competitive with everybody else. We're not going to lag behind. We got the best sheriff's department in the state. You go outside, and I ride the country a lot, especially unincorporated areas, the Pike Road area, and you can't go more than 2 or 3 or 4 miles without seeing a sheriff's deputy.
Yes,
and that
sir.
just relates to how the coverage is and the job that our guys are doing. And right now, we're about 10 short. And we're going to get those numbers up, and we're going to keep them up. And we're going to compensate y'all, Kevin, because the job y'all doing is absolutely remarkable, the things that y'all do. And I just want to publicly come on and say thank you to you and Sheriff Cunningham and all 150 of the deputies that we have.
Well, thank you, Commissioner. And again, it's all to Sheriff Cunningham's credit. He's a great leader, and he takes good care of us. He makes sure we have the equipment and all the things that we need. And I know that he's been driving the pay issue very hard because we've seen several deputies in just the last 6 to 8 months leave to go to a job that paid more.
How much tenure did they have?
6-7 years, one guy 10 years, you know, and some are able to leave and go to the state making more money and take their retirement with them.
Folks, listeners, this is Doug Singleton, the county commissioner one of the county commissioners from Montgomery County that's on the phone. Doug, I really appreciate you calling in today.
Yeah, I did, and I wanted to, again, that we're not, Derek deserves a ton of credit. There's not a better sheriff. He just won sheriff of the year for the state. But the people under him, the Kevin Murphy and the people under and on down, they all first class, do a great job. And my thing at the county commission meeting was I wouldn't do it. The job they do for the pay they get with the risk that they have. When I leave in the morning to go to work, my wife's not wondering if I'm coming home that night. She knows I'm probably going to come home.
You better, Doug.
Yeah.
Well, let me say this.
I hope the locks ain't changed when I get home, man. I'm worried about locks changed. I'm not worried about going home.
I can speak for the sheriff, and I can speak for many, many, almost every law enforcement officer that wears a badge. I love the job. I love getting up every day and doing it. It's in my blood. I couldn't do anything else. I would be miserable. So it's a labor of love for me. And everyone that I see, I love being around cops. I love their desire to serve, and it's not a cliche. I mean, these guys really want to help and do what's right.
Yeah, and if we're going to combat crime, I know like in the city of Montgomery, if we're going to combat crime, the citizens have to be involved. They have to report things, and then when they see crimes being committed, they got to report it. They got to turn people's names in. They've got to be involved. They can't just say, well, I don't want to get involved. I'm scared to get involved. That's the only way we're going to get a hold of this crime problem that we do have in Montgomery. And it's a joke a lot of times because a lot of my friends who live in Wind Lakes and in Sturbridge, they'll say, "Why don't the sheriff's department? Why don't the sheriff's department patrol inside the city limits of Montgomery?" And I always joke with them, and I'm just joking. I said, "Well, we got all the bad guys hemmed up in the city now. We're not letting them outside." So,
I appreciate that. I appreciate that.
Seriously, the job that y'all do out there and out there in the county and all, I mean, that's just amazing. And I think a lot of it's because of the presence. And we got to get the enough officers out there where we've got a full staff, and we're going to get there. So just hang in there, and trust me, it's coming. It should come down the road at least within the next 30 days.
Thank you again.
Commissioner, thank you so very much.
All right, thank y'all for the time. Have a great day, guys.
You too. Let me go to Sandy real quick. And Sandy, you're on board the Dan Moore Show with Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy.
Yes, sir. Hi, Dan. I'm Sandy from Christchurch.
Hey, Sandy. How are you?
I'm good, good, good. Real good today. I just wanted to tell Chief that years ago at an old Cloverdale Association meeting, he and some officers came to speak to us and encourage us about their hard work and caring about our community, and he gave me his coin, and I'm looking at it right now. It's one of my prized possessions.
Well, thank you. That means a lot to me. My wife doesn't have one of those. No, I'm kidding.
Well, he cannot find.
Well, thank you very much for that.
All right.
Sandy, thanks for the telephone call. I'll see you Sunday.
Yes, sir.
Take care. News 93.1, Dan Moore Show. We're going to be back right after this.
Your news talk place to be. The Dan Morris Show on News Talk 93.1 WACV.
The biggest and baddest broadcast in all the land. Happy Hour with Greg Budell and Joey Clark. Afternoons 3 to 6 on the River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
I'm Keith Pinkerton at Mr. Electric. How do we make things better? Our customers say it better than we can.
Professional. Top notch.
They were on time.
Fixed it on site.
I'd recommend Mr. Electric to anyone.
We're proudly making things better in the Montgomery area. And we're proud to be a neighborly company.
We're Mr. Electric. We have the power to make things better.
Visit MrElectric.com.
The Marshall Tucker Band is coming to the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, and News Talk 93.1 wants you to win tickets before they're gone.
On a Jekyll freight train, down at the station lot, I don't care where it goes.
Tune into the 3 Minute and a Lady Morning Show with Greg, Jay, Emily, and Rich all week long to win tickets to see the Marshall Tucker Band at the MPAC on April 25th. Tickets to the Marshall Tucker Band at the Montgomery Performing Arts Center, April 25th, from News Talk 93.1. Intellectually honest, philosophically consistent radio. News and views from 9 till noon. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Now, back to Dan Morris on News Talk 93.1, WACV.
That's where we are. Kim Molinex, hang on for me, buddy. I want to mention something to Kevin here. Tell me, is it a big difference of citizen involvement of the citizens in Montgomery talking to MPD versus citizens in the county talking to the Sheriff's Department?
No, I'd say it's about the same.
It's about the same?
My experience in both worlds... You know, the county is a little different, obviously. When I started with the sheriff, I remember I was in the car, and I looked down at the police radio like, okay. You know, the call was a neighbor's horse had defecated in the road. I thought, wow, I have arrived in the county now. But
so that is a little different.
Yeah. But, you know, there's the same, you know, percent or proportionate-wise, the same multitude of issues in the county. You know, we have domestics and... You know, obviously crime isn't as big an issue. But, you know, we have burglaries and thefts, and we work those very hard in the county. But as far as the community interaction, the same. You know, people are people.
Yeah. Once I have someone who lives out in the county, and they said, you know, it's like a family that's out there. Everybody, even though we all don't live close to each other, we're always community. If we see anything wrong, we're picking up the phone and
that's
calling
true.
Somebody.
And
it's very different. I don't see that in Montgomery.
In that
much.
Aspect, you're right. Yes. But, you know, the important thing is return every phone call, answer every email, go to every community meeting. I mean, the sheriff, I don't know when he gets a day off.
I have to congratulate him on the Easter egg and the hospital mm-hmm. visit. That was spectacular. That just looked so good for Montgomery.
You know, it's from his heart. This guy, it truly is from his heart. Just everything he does. You know, at Christmas time and the kids camp. And we've always got something lined up. Deputy Dave Day is a week from this Saturday. And then we're going to be out at Sweet Creek this Saturday.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, we've constantly had something.
Will Derek be there?
Not this Saturday. He will be there for Deputy Dave Day and Raymer the following Saturday.
Okay. But
he had another obligation Saturday.
So he's going to send a surrogate Kevin Murphy in.
Absolutely.
I like that. Let's go to the phones and go to Ken Mullinex. Ken, you're on board with Kevin Murphy.
Big Dan, Chief Murphy, how are you?
Good. How much is this going to cost me? How you doing, Ken?
Well, I'm well. It's always good when I'm in the room or on the phone with you, Chief. And likewise, Dan. Dan, I want to let you know, and I know you know about this, but not all of your listeners do, but I was in a room with Chief Murphy about 8 years ago, 6 years ago, at the First Baptist Church across from the police station, and I witnessed the most magnanimous thing, one of the most Christ-like things I've seen anybody do. Congressman John Lewis was there with a bipartisan group of United States senators and congressmen learning about the civil rights history of Montgomery. And Chief Murphy, then the chief of the Montgomery Police Department, out of nowhere, unplanned, took his badge off and gave it to Congressman John Lewis, who had been assaulted decades earlier as a civil rights protester here in Montgomery, and gave it to him as an offering of peace and reconciliation. And I tell you, there wasn't a dry eye in that house. And Kevin, well done. You should get the Montgomery Chamber of Commerce Super Duper Award for that. And as my Southern Baptist grandmother would have said, it was a jewel in your crown. Thank you. Thank you, Kevin Murphy.
Thank you, Ken. You're very kind.
I remember that very, very, very well. It was a powerful video.
Well, I'll leave you alone, Dan. Take it easy, Dan, and talk a little on the left every now and then, would you?
I don't think it's in my DNA.
See you, buddy.
Thanks, Ken. Appreciate you. Let's go to the phones and go to Bob. Bob, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. You're on with Chief Deputy Kevin Murphy.
Great. How are you doing, Dan?
I'm very good, Bob.
I just wanted to say that to people who don't know Kevin Murphy, he is a man of integrity, and the county of Montgomery is very, very fortunate to have him around.
Well, thank you.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Very nice.
This must be I Love Kevin Murphy Day.
I don't know why.
I've known him for years, and I've loved him for years.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks, Bob. I appreciate the telephone
call. Bye-bye.
I know Kevin does. And going back into the training and such, you told me off mic that you send your deputies to the Montgomery Police Department Academy.
Correct.
But then deputies come to you have already gone through the POST program.
Correct.
Where do most of those deputies come from to you?
MPD.
MPD?
I have a lot of the guys I served with for many, many years, decades. Are working with me now at the sheriff's office.
Really?
Well, Sheriff Cunningham was an 11-year veteran mm-hmm. of the Montgomery Police Department. So there's a lot of MPD there that have retired. In fact, Sean Wright He's about to retire from MPD, and we've hired him. He's going to start as a deputy next month.
Wow.
Yeah, good officer.
When you bring someone into the sheriff's department that's a new officer, is it, here are the keys to the car, here's the gun, here's the badge, and here's what you need to do? Or is there something a little more systematic of having them ride with another deputy?
Sheriff's world is very different, and that's something that I gained a great appreciation for when I started with Sheriff Cunningham. He often says that we do more than a municipal police department. You know, no jabs against the city, but we do. You know, we have a civil division. We serve civil papers. We do civil involuntary commitments, which take an enormous amount of discretion, mental health, picking somebody up. Look, it's not a crime. So when you're picking someone up on an involuntary commitment, you have to be very careful in the use of force. This person's suffering from mental illness.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure if you're familiar with the incident in North Carolina where they tased the guy and he ended up dying. And the appellate court said, hey, this guy wasn't under arrest. This is a civil process. So when you're using force in that situation, you have to be extraordinarily careful. So, you know, the sheriff's world is very different than the municipal police world. Everything that we do follows state law, not municipal ordinance. Who has more authority, a municipal police officer, a deputy sheriff, or an FBI agent?
Sheriff is the high sheriff.
Well, no, maybe I rephrase that. Who has the ability to enforce the most laws? The city officer.
Oh, okay. So he can enforce many more ordinances.
See, we don't enforce city ordinances. We enforce state law. The deputies can enforce state law, city ordinance, and federal, where an FBI agent can only enforce federal law. So, again, there's our world, the sheriff's world, is a little different. And so when somebody comes to work for us who's got a lot of experience in municipal law enforcement, there's a learning curve there.
But is there some retooling that you... So there is some retooling
there
you
is.
Have to do.
Yeah, there is.
Okay. Yeah, I would think that the environment, the geography, the fact that you're not in an urban setting, that all that would be different. But what people don't realize is that drugs and things like that are in the county, just like they are in the city.
Absolutely.
Matter of fact, somebody in one of your departments told me that that they're fleeing the city because they think that they can go out and be in a house and start making meth and things like that, and it's not as easily to detect.
Without a doubt. And again, you know, leaving the city, going to the county, and I remember first starting with Sheriff Cunningham, I thought, hey, where are all the streetlights? I mean, I'm out in the south end of the county, and there's some areas that, unless you're very familiar with it, are very difficult to find. You're not going to find them on a map. You're going to have to know your area in order to locate it.
So when somebody calls in on 911 and you're responding to a call, that location may not be as accurate on his computer.
It's better now. In fact, we're probably as accurate as we can be. But, you know, computers and technology is fallible, and it always is very beneficial to have a deputy who knows his territory. You know, the GIS...
So you all do them in sectors?
We do.
Okay.
The GIS and the 911 system is very accurate, but as with anything, there's faults to it.
Let me try to get to Bud here. Bud, welcome aboard the Dan Moore Show. Are we hard?
Good morning. Chief Murphy. And you were just saying, Dan, this is, I love Kevin Murphy Day. This might be the craziest phone call you ever get.
Uh-oh. Are you going to propose to him?
13 months ago, I was arrested. First time I'm 50.